Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Job 17:9. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands grow stronger and stronger. I have listened to a couple of messages over the last couple of weeks about stronger and stronger from Hot Springs, from also here. I'm really pumped because I was in Houston, Texas this week at the Cowboy Church, Branded for Christ, and I was on Tuesday night at a practice event, and I was watching rough stock riders ride bulls. And I've got a video, you just come ask me about it, it's phenomenal, of this guy getting bucked off. And here's my wife and I on the sidelines. And I mean, he gets bucked off, and here comes the bull right at him. Doesn't just kind of nudge him and let's just play a little bit. Lifts him up with his horn off the ground and throws him. And I'm going, this isn't good. And my wife doesn't have the same reaction. She's, oh, give me. You ever seen women? I don't know what this is, but that's what she did. I was standing right there. I didn't do that. You it was involuntary, I understand. But we were freaking out. And what we were freaking out about was we thought that the bull was stronger than the man. That's good thinking, and it's true. But he had all this garb on and a helmet, and I thought, well, he'll probably live. I hope. And then he just jumps up and runs over to the fence and is laughing about it. And he goes, did y'all get that on film? He's a young college geek. And he's like, it was a trophy for him to live and been lifted in the air by a bull. And I said, I happen to have it. He goes, would you send it to me? I was videoing the whole thing. And here's what I was watching. I was watching this young man understands strength at a level that I realize I am weak. You're not going to put, I'm not strong enough to get on that bull. You would think as jelly as I looked that I would bounce when I hit the ground, but I don't. It's like a glob when it hits. It's not good. And I know I've been bucked off a horse before and a cow throwing you in the air and then coming at you with a horn is not, to me, a good idea. But this guy's got some strength that I don't possess. And I told him this week I was going to share that with you all today, because our church, compared to the bunch of guys y'all are raising here, we're a bunch of wimps. I mean, really, I don't know anybody get up there on that. And then I started thinking, not really. He might be able to get on a bull, but we're not talking this year about physical strength. We're talking about spiritual strength. Being able to understand the Word of God and go to a level we've never been before. And that is very important, because those who are in right standing with God, regardless of whether or not you ride a bull or not, are going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter. I want to move on from what I started last week. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself, by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. All of this has been given. I love that verse. I have preached and preached on this verse. We're looking for something to happen that's already happened. Many Christians are looking for God to move in a certain way and God to provide something for them that He's already provided. I preached and preached on this verse. But there's something that we have missed, And I agree with everything in verse 4 and in verse 3. But as you keep reading in verse 5, a lot of times we stop in verse 4. So let's keep reading in verse 5. It says, in view of all of this, well, in view of what? All the promises, all the things that are already available to you, what Jesus did on, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. There's a part that we play in receiving the promises of God. Make every effort, make every effort. We've got to make an effort to get all that God has said He has for us. See, now that you have made Jesus Lord, you got to put forth some effort. Put forward some effort to respond to God's promises. It goes on to say, supplement your faith. Supplement your faith. Let's just stop there. How are we saved? How are we saved? We're saved by grace. Through what? Through faith. We're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8. By grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. All right, let's read this again. Supplement your faith. Oh, supplement it with what? It goes on to tell you, and I'll get to that in a second. Supplement your faith. How are we saved? We're saved by grace through faith. So we have faith to believe in what Jesus died on the cross and did. We have faith to believe that that was for us. Anybody testify to that? Sure. Sure, I'm saved by faith. Through faith I'm saved by grace, and it's not anything I can do. So we get saved, and we've got a world teaching this. We've got the church teaching this all over. Get saved, get saved. Well, how do I get saved? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. By grace of God, He allows you to have the faith to say, I believe in what Jesus did for me. And we all get that, but we always stop at between verses 4 and 5 of 2 Peter. And we realize that all the promises are there. We realize that everything's been given and we've accepted Jesus. And so therefore, we're going to heaven. But then it says in verse 5, make every effort. Supplement your faith. What that tells me is you don't just get saved and then you're done. Now, there's nothing you could have done, Ephesians 2:8, it's not of yourself. Nothing you could have done to receive the salvation. It was only your faith in what Jesus did that allows you to be saved. And everybody gets that. But today, I want to go ahead and say, there are promises available for God's people that we never pick up. We never get a hold of. There are promises available for you that will be necessary for you to understand verse 5 on. There's some supplemental things that's got to come with your faith for you to have the blessed life that God has for you. So let's keep reading here. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection and love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted, blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you'll never fall away. We're at an all-time high of people falling away from the church. It happens all the time. Well, I can tell you why they're falling away. It's because they've quit doing these things. When you quit doing these things, you fall away from the church. You fall away from the teachings of God. And so we don't want to fall away. Verse 11, God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If the then means after you have added these things. So you want a grand entrance into the kingdom, here's how you do it. See, it's time for the church to start growing and not just getting saved after every service. Now, I'm not saying, please don't read into that, that it's time for us to quit getting saved after every service. There's got to be people getting saved. Got to be people. And if the church is doing their job right and equipping you to go out and do the work of the ministry, then people can get saved anywhere. You can lead them to Jesus right there on the job site. You can lead them to Jesus in your kids at home. You can lead people to Jesus any place you find yourself. But the church is to equip you so you can go lead people to Jesus. I get that. But if the church continues to teach and do what is necessary, then we are going to start growing people with the knowledge of the Word and letting them know that there's more available, not just a ticket to heaven. Praise God for the ticket to heaven. Praise God. But there's more. If there wasn't, then you just get saved and then go hang out and do whatever you want. And that's what most of the world's doing. Most of the Christian people are just getting saved. Oh, we're so happy you're saved. And then we never hear from them again. They quit church. Do you know Jesus? Yeah, at 8 years old, I got saved. Well, what church you go to? I don't go to church. Church is just a bunch. Oh, wait a minute here. You obviously didn't add to your faith. You didn't add to all that was supposed to happen here. See, is this not right where we are in our society? Forgetting that we've been cleansed, we've been made right in God's sight, our old sin has passed away, but we got a bunch of new sin on us and we have forgot the idea that we have to get to work, make every effort. Here's the rest of the instructions for you to live after faith, after salvation. I'm not preaching a salvation message this morning. How many of y'all are saved today? Okay, I got a bunch of saved people in this house. They know Jesus is Lord. They know Him as Savior. That's where we're at. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to add to our faith. We're going to add to what we say we are. What are we going to do first? We're going to add moral excellence, it says. Add moral excellence. So let's just go through some of these. Moral excellence. Your Bible may say goodness. Goodness. Moral excellence or goodness. You know, that's just a good person. And I know a lot of Christians who just aren't nice people. What's going on? They never added good person to themselves. This is for you to do. It says make every effort. He's talking to you, Christian people. He's talking to me. He's saying make every effort. Moral excellence. A good person. Everyone has said that about someone. Not just a good person. That's just a good person. And there are some people that you just say, well, that's just not a nice person. That's just not a nice person. And oftentimes, that's not, okay, good person, that's not a nice person. I'm not going to say bad person. I'm going to say good person, not a nice person. That can be in the Christian faith or outside of it either way. Rick Bertoli and I have talked a lot about this. People need to know Jesus, but man, they're just a great person. I mean, good, just good person. They do anything for you. I mean, what defines good? The Bible defines good in a lot of ways, but understanding that a good person, I know a lot of good people that don't know Jesus. Good people, good moral standards. But if you go look at everything that qualifies them for being a good person, it's all in the Word. But I know a bunch of good people, not just a good person, but they don't know Jesus. I know a bunch of people who know Jesus who's not a good person. So I'm talking to people who know Jesus today. Make sure you've added to your faith, good person. You're a good person. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? You start reading the Word and getting a hold of what defines a good person. It's all through Scripture. Start out with Proverbs. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day. You can find out what defines a good person real quick. It says, add to your faith moral excellence. Now, no one is perfect. I'm not talking perfection here. I'm talking about good, having good morals, doing the right thing. You know, a lot of people do the right thing when people are looking. Well, to define doing the right thing is when no one's looking, are you still doing the right thing? Are you still doing it? Then it says to add to moral excellence knowledge. I enjoy being around knowledgeable people. Now, there's a lot of areas that I'm just not real smart in, and so I'm enjoying the time that I'm with people who are smarter than me. Yet yesterday morning, Rick and Steve are out here, and I drive up, and you got to know what I saw. I drive up, and I'm seeing one over here at this end pulling the electric cords, and I mean, giving it all that he had. That would be Rick. Steve's over here at the other end shoving a line down. And so I watched that for a second, and then I watched Steve step back from it and go, and I thought, I don't want any part of that. They were both sweating, but I thought I better stop. And so I stopped, and I rooted them on. That's what I'm good at. I mean, y'all are doing a great job. 20 more feet, come on. You about got it, don't you? Yeah, about got it, Pastor. And I was just thinking about the knowledge that these guys possess. And they'll tell you, both of them, I don't know any. And they're sincere. They don't believe that they do, but they do. Very smart. And so we're talking and we're visiting and just talking about electric and the box and what we need and what locations. And we're just enjoying visiting and talking about it. And I'm realizing real quick how ignorant I am. But I'm just smiling and nodding. You ever smile and nod at somebody who's more knowledgeable than you? That can be dangerous. Because they're thinking you understand what they're saying. And when knowledge becomes responsibility. And so I kind of nodded for a while, and then I thought, they think I know all that. And I said, I don't get any of it, but I'm glad you guys do. But as I listened, you know, I've listened to them, and I've listened to Rick talk for about 12 years or 11 years, as I've had the privilege of being in several building projects with him being here. And I've listened to him talk, and I've been around Steve enough to hear him talk, and they can get down on my level and explain it where I can understand it. And so as I get it understood to my level, I start realizing I've gained some knowledge in electricity that I didn't think I had before, and I've gained a little more. And now I actually hear them talk, and I'm kind of understanding what they're saying. I mean, just a little more knowledge in that area. Here's what I want to challenge you with today. If you're going to add to your faith, let's just get real practical here. Knowledge is something that a lot of us don't want. Because we know that by gaining some knowledge, an area becomes responsibility. And so I'm real quick to say, I don't need to know that. And I don't. But I do, because the Bible says to add to your faith with some knowledge. You find yourself building all the time, you might want to get to know a little bit about it. We've built several buildings here, and the first one, I'm like, I know nothing. I know nothing. But now, after a few buildings later and building their own house, you know what? I know a little bit about building. I'm a little more knowledgeable than I used to be. And so I'm just using building as an example. You put that in any area. When you're on your job, when you're talking with family, well, I don't know anything about that. Be careful about saying that. Why don't you tell me about it so I can know a little more about it? Maybe change your phrasing and learn some stuff. Why? Because knowledge is important. The more Christian people know, the more we can impact this world. So let's get some knowledge. Let's get smart. Young people, come on, be serious about school. Let's get some knowledge. Why? Because you're going to add to your faith. You're going to add to your faith. And the Bible says that that's what we need to do. I'm continually telling our young people, as I have been around them for years, a favorite phrase of mine is, pay attention. I used to tell my kids that all the time. Now, you pay attention to this. Pay attention. Anybody else use that phrase? Pay attention. You pay attention to what I'm coming over there at a desk and they're off their work, you turn their head, pay attention. You know, what are you doing here? Pay attention. And a lot of times they're thinking when you tell them to pay attention, well, I don't need to know that. What they're saying is, I don't ever want to go to the next level. So let's always be careful that we're not avoiding knowledge. The Bible says to add knowledge to your faith. Y'all get this to me? Very important. Then it says, after you add some knowledge, get some self-control. There are things that happen throughout your day that will make you cry. And men would agree with that, but they've got this thing built into them, I'm not going to cry. But there are things that happen in life that, I mean, really, they get you. The Bible says you need some self-control. You need some self-control, and I'm not saying to never cry. But a child falls down, it's terrible. And you know, I've heard moms and dads alike, different backgrounds, different self-control, tell a child who falls down, get up. Shake it off. You'll be all right. And that child is crying. And I have also seen moms and dads running to the child's. There's no blood, no foul. Oh, and they're running to this child. And the child wasn't even really that bad of crying, but now the child's out of control. What happened is you had a parent that didn't have any control. Now you got a child that has no control. That's a simple illustration, but let's just put that in every area. I know a lot of people who just can't handle when things change in life. Well, get some self-control. Because you're in a world that's changing quickly. And if you're not able to change and adapt to some things, you're going to be, you got to get some self-control. Something, and in the same thinking, there are some that's just out of hand with the change. Changing every day. I got to have a different thing every day. I got to have this. I got to have that. Something hits them and they're just going to go do it. Someone makes them mad and they're ready to fight. You see something. I'm just going to go buy it. The world is in a big financial crisis because we got a lot of people who have no self-control. Saved people, add to your faith some self-control. And then it says, after you get some self-control, get some patient endurance. Let's just skip on to godliness. I don't want to talk about this one. Patient endurance. About the time you think you're doing pretty good of adding some things to your salvation, you're sitting there waiting on your wife to get ready. And then you're like, what are you waiting? Just this week, I eat at 3 times the speed she does. And we're just sitting there. Her and I are enjoying our time together. And I'm sitting at the table and I'm done. So here's what I do. I just stare at her. I mean, she's beautiful. But that wasn't really why I was staring, and she knew that. And she looked up at me and I said, what? Nothing. I hate it when I feel like you're waiting on me. Well, that's what I'm doing. I don't know how else to say. I'm waiting on faster. Now, I know her jaw muscles, because of her size, can't be as fast as mine are or as strong. I understand all of that. And so there are times that I've got to back up and say, okay, wait, patience, big boy, patience. And I know that I'm just talking, but everybody deals possibly with this. You ever lose your patience? The Bible says add to your faith patience. If you're a Christian, add some patience. Calm down. Hold on a little bit. We've got churches in financial crisis because we can't wait to get the money to pay for something. See, patience is in a lot of areas other than just eating. We got people who just, I mean, they don't talk fast enough. Get to the point. But you know, some people talk slower than others. And if you're a fast talker, you've got to have some patience for those that talk slow. You want some practice? Go down south. They talk very slow. If you're a slow talker, stay away from going north. I mean, and then they're done. And I've been in different parts of the country. Patience is a very big deal. And I just want you to understand that it's important for us to develop some. Husbands, get some patience. When you stop, somewhere, and you and your wife are in the, I'm talking illustrations that happened this week. And my wife's pretty good about this because she knows to work with my lack of patience. But when you stop somewhere, here's a man, throws it into park with his right hand, his foot's on the brake, and his left hand's on the door. And so as soon as we stop, I'm out of the truck and I'm walking towards IKEA. I think that's the way they pronounced it. I'm ready to go. And then you turn around and her truck door's not even open. Been driving for 2 hours. Could you not have thought about that before we got here? Y'all getting the point of patience? I don't want to talk about it no more because I'm out of it. Nope. As I was preparing this, I thought I got a lot of illustrations, and I'll just make fun of myself this morning. I need to add some patience to my faith. The next one is godliness. Godliness. You know, well, Pastor, what's godliness? I'm saved. I'm a Christian. So obviously I'm godly. Well, let me just give you something to think about. When you make decisions or when you operate just how you operate through the day, ask yourself this question. Is that how the Lord would have done it? Whoo, that brings a whole new thought to it. Is that the way the Lord would have done it? Now, we can see that as in getting out of hand and being harsh and rough. But let me just ask, say it like this. There's a lot of very meek and soft-spoken people. And somehow we just let people run right over us. You never think about, just I'm so soft. You need to ask yourself, is that the way the Lord would have done it? Because there are times, I'm telling you, I read that Jesus was pretty bold. And Jesus, as I see it in Scripture, was not a pushover. So everybody gets it that's a little harsh and brash. Everybody gets that. You need some godliness. Is that the way Jesus would have done it? But for those of you that just continually don't say anything when something needs to be said, Jesus, I found himself being in people's face because he loved them. Because he loved them. See, he was ready for die. He was ready to die for them, but he's also ready to set things straight. We got to do things godly. As believers, we have to live godly. When we're at work, when we're by ourselves, you have to live godly. Next, add to godliness, kindness or brotherly affection. Do you have a kind word for someone, or do you leave people thinking that you're mad? Brotherly affection is very important. Obviously, it's important in a marriage. If your spouse thinks you're mad at them all the time, then things aren't going to go well. But let's get out of the marriage and just get into different relationships. Did you smile when you were talking? And was that smile just put on so you could go ahead and get your anger out? Passive-aggressive person? Man, I'm just, a lot of different things to think about here. What are you producing is the question you need to ask. Do people know that you really do appreciate them? Brotherly affection. See, that are things going well with what you're doing and your relationships? Or are people wondering what you're thinking? And they need to be because you're not thinking the right thing. Or are people going, I sure appreciate the way that they showed me their affection towards me. Brotherly affection, kindness, that's got to be added to godliness. And next and last is love. This is very, very difficult. Love is a very difficult thing. We are also self-centered. We are all selfish in our flesh. But in Christ, as we put on a different mindset, then it's tough to be anything else but loving. But we don't put on the things of God enough. We haven't added to our faith because we've got a bunch of Christians who just got saved and then they haven't done the work of putting on these other things. And I love that it has, I love that it has love after all these other things. It's very important. If you don't have patient endurance, if you don't have godliness, if you don't have kindness, if you don't have all of these things, love is not going to be able to be seen in you. So it's very important. We all have a problem with wanting things our way. Well, if you'll get a hold of all of these that 2 Peter talks about, Peter gave us a great list of things that we need to supplement our faith with. I want to, in ending today, I just want to say this. This year is going to be a giant year for us. It's going to be a big year. You know, Pastor, I want to be a nice guy, but I'm just not very nice. Great. You heard a sermon today that should give you an area to start working on. See, what area is it? What area is it? Boy, I want to be a patient guy, but I'm just not very patient. Well, I want to operate with some moral excellence, but, you know, morality's just always been my shortcoming. Godliness, I'm all about godliness, as long as everybody treats me right. I don't want to know nothing, so I guess I ought to get some knowledge this year. I don't know which area of this hits you, but as I'm talking about these different areas, what is it? Because I wasn't just preaching today to let this just be a good message. I'm preaching today for you to get some things to add to your faith. What is it? What is it? Get that in your mind, what area it is. Two things to answer that thing for you. This year, as we get stronger and stronger, there are two things that you've got to focus on to get those areas in better standing. Here's what they are: food and exercise. And I'm not one to talk about them in the physical, but I can spiritually. Food and exercise. You know, if you feed yourself horror movies, you feed yourself pornography, you feed yourselves from what the lady in the cubicle next to you is saying all the time and all that gossip. You feed yourself wrong all day, you're going to live in fear. You're going to live in worry. You're going to live in bitterness. You're going to see what causes me not to be able to add this stuff? What you're feeding yourself causes you not to be able to add. We're going to have to practice stopping our tongue and practice the right thing. That's the exercise. Every hour, every minute, what am I feeding myself? All the time. You can't just wait to the end of the day and ask yourself that. Every minute of every hour of every day, you better be asking yourself, what am I feeding myself and what is my exercise right now? This TV show, what's it going to produce in my life? You're feeding yourself everything that's happening. I can just tell you, you are. The area of your weakness, I can tell you that's what you're feeding and that's how you're either exercising or not exercising. But you're not exercising the things of God. Now, understand this. Music. I'm listening to music all the time when I am out in stores shopping, and I'm like blown away at what's being said in some of these songs. What is the music you're listening to producing in your life? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with what it's producing. Words produce. You sit there and listen and you watch the Bible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Somebody's tongue's producing life or death for you. So you just got, what is, I'm not against music and I'm not against TV. But there are some songs, there are some shows that if you allow that lifestyle in your home, it's not going to glorify God. So why are you letting it in your ears? I was watching some cartoons the other day. Not because I'm a cartoon fanatic. I really don't like them. I just got caught up on watching one. I don't even know what it was, but it was some little kid hollering at their parent. And the way they were talking to their parent was with a mindset that the parent was ignorant and the child was smart. And the child knew more than the parent. Adeline is starting to spend a little time over at my house. Boy, I can't wait to watch that cartoon again. It was so funny. But what was it producing? So I'm sitting here going, oh, you know young people are watching this every day. And I'm going to have my granddaughter over here and start teaching her how to talk to her mom and dad. That show won't be played while I'm there. Because I know that it's going to produce something that I'm not looking at producing in my granddaughter towards her parents. But we don't screen the cartoons. Come on, they're just cartoons. Everything out there is producing something. Are you watching what you're doing? See, if you're in strength training this year, then we got to watch what we're feeding ourselves and we got to practice. I want to live happy. I want to live in peace. I want spiritual thoughts. I don't want flesh thoughts all the time. I'm going to have to practice the areas I need to be better. I'm going to have to practice praying. You know, a lot of Christian people won't pray out loud. Well, go practice. Well, I just don't know how to pray. Go practice. Stand in front of a mirror and practice. Practice, practice, and pray out loud. Get in your car and practice. When you're by yourself, practice. Practice praying. Why? Because we need men and women of God who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior to add to their faith the ability to have some boldness and godliness. And Jesus said, here's how you pray, and he taught us. But we're not strengthened enough to be able to pray out loud. Come on, I know I'm talking to somebody today. We got to be able to pray. Practice. We're going to have by the end of this year some men and women of God who can pray out loud. Why? Because we're practiced. Some of us need to practice keeping our mouth shut. What a year is ahead of us. I'm telling you, we're going to have a great year. Members of Christian Ministries who are here, you will experience things in your life this year that you never thought was possible. I'm just telling you, I believe that wholeheartedly. If you will watch what you're feeding, watch the food you're taking in, and you'll exercise. Don't miss a church service. Well, Pastor, there are times I got to work. We have podcasts. We're in a day and age of technology. You don't have to miss one service. Don't miss a church service. There's not a church service that we miss. My wife and I, we don't miss a church service. We're going to listen to everything said, everything done. Why? Because it's important for us to be tuned in to what the body of Christ is doing and where they're going. Melanie's The Weakest Link. Boy, it spoke to my heart. Spoke to my heart. Why? Because there are areas that I've just, I'm not strong here. Oh, well, wait a minute here. Maybe it's in my weakness that I'm made strong. So I'm going to glorify God for being able to use every area of my life. But I'm not going to sit on the sidelines and not be in the game. I'm feeding myself. I'm practicing. And when someone says, who'd like to pray? I'm there. When someone says, boy, I just need to know what the word, I don't really get this. I don't know what the word says about, I'm telling you, I'm just having a bad day. You know what? In the name of Jesus, we can take care of that. Let's spend some time in prayer. Are you ready to get strengthened?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.